Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, are available on Spotify. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. We got through another week, folks, so I hope you're doing okay. And I'll find out what movies you've been watching over the past week, the grab a pencil portion of the film show. By the way, I use grab a pencil a lot. I've been using pencils all through the pandemic, and I've used two out, so that's kind of nice. Plus, I have a wonderful old school pencil sharpener in my basement that came with the house. So there's something to be said about a good pencil sharpener. And for me, the smell of a freshly sharpened pencil, it makes me happy. It's the little things, folks. Anyway, so we'll get to what you watched in a little bit, and I'll get to what I watched in a moment. But just a friendly reminder that the Heartland International Film Festival is going to be wrapping up on October 18th. You can go to heartlandfilm.org for all the information on that, as far as virtual events, as well as stuff that was that's been happening at the Tibbs Drive-In, as well as Newfield. So go check out heartlandfilm.org and check them out. Speaking of the Tibbs, over at the Tibbs Drive-In, the Heartland Film Festival has Screen 2 and Screen 3. On Screen 1, you have Child's Play. I'm assuming that's the current remake, the reboot. And it's from the artwork on the website. And then on Movie 2 on Screen 1, Army of Darkness. So there's that for the month of October. Here's a special event on Screen 4 with a really weird pairing. At 7:45, there's going to be an Indianapolis men's choir sing-along to Little Shop of Horrors. I can tell you the price is a little more than your average drive-in trip, but the Indianapolis men's choir sing-along of the 1986 musical version of Little Shop of Horrors. And then at 9:45, The Warwick Grandpa, because it's new. And it's out there. Anyway, that's happening over at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline in Shelbyville, Old School, at 7:30 p.m., The Evil Dead. At 9:15, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And at 11 o'clock, Last House on the Left. Man, I've seen two of the three films, actually, when in the cinema. Evil Dead when it opened. And the 10-year anniversary of Chainsaw. Never seen Last House on the Left in the theater. Man, that's a harsh triple feature right there. So go check that out. That's at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Over at IU Cinema, just reminders, running through October 28th virtually, the documentary RBG, Sky Point, the notorious RBG. Running through November 4th, the 2020 comedy Dead. Running through November 11th, Maroney for President, a 2018 documentary. And running through October 28th, Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President. And that is running, again, through October 28th. And then a special virtual event tonight at 7 o'clock, the 2004 documentary Chisholm 72, Unbought and Unbossed. Tuesday, October 20th, a special virtual event from 1999, A Conversation on Election. Running through November 11th, starting next week, is Nation Time, the 1972 documentary. So anyway, that is happening over at IU Cinema. Over at the Can-Can, Wednesday, October 21st, is their outdoor screening of Get Out. Tickets are still available for that. And Wednesday, October 28th, their outdoors screening of Shaun of the Dead. Both of those at 7 p.m. at Can-Can, with a K, cancanindy.com for all that information there. Okay, I do have one correction before I get into my film list. In the documentary Time, which I raved about last week, Sybil served 3.5 years, not 12. So sorry for the mix-up there on my part. It happens. It's a film show. All right. Opening this week on Amazon, it's an Amazon original. This is part of the Blumhouse quartet of films that, and I talked about one last week. But the film Evil Eye, which stars Sunita Shirdroy as a mother with a 20-something daughter, played by Sunita Mani, for you fans of GLOW, and for Sarita Free. I remember seeing her in her very first film, Mississippi Masala, back in the late 80s with Denzel Washington. Both fine ladies, fine performances here. But a mother in India is concerned about her late 20-something daughter living in New Orleans, still not married, and still setting up dates from the other part of the world. And what happens when the daughter meets a man not set up by her mother, and as it turns out, could be the reincarnation of the man who tried to kill the mother 30 years ago. So we have that plot. And don't expect high intense thrills, but it's actually well done. I like the two female performances. You also have Omar Mascati, who also is the gentleman in question, also a very good performance there. It's one of those. It's kind of like last week's film that I talked about. If you just go with the concept and run with it, and it works. It doesn't near the end get into too silly a horror film climax. It doesn't completely go off the rails. It has moments because we see these. Well, and I this is not the genre I watch a lot, or it's not my fifth genre of choice. But it doesn't go off the rails, and it's a solid suspense film with a little bit of a mixture between mom and daughter. So. Yeah, it's worth checking out. It's part of the Blumhouse series, the Amazon original Evil Eye on Prime Video and other places. It's funny. I have friends when I talk about these films and they say, well, where did you get them? I'm like, well, I get a screener of it in advance, so sorry. So sometimes you just have to look and see where it is. But yeah, check out Evil Eye. I did enjoy that. New on Kornet Films. From home video is the film called A Regular Woman, and it's the story of a woman who a Muslim girl who is living with her family in Berlin, and what happens when she decides to take off her headscarf and lead a non-Muslim life in Germany. The film is based on a 2005 event with the term I had not heard before called honor killing. It's based on an event where a woman was murdered by her brother just to protect the honor of her family. And there's some voiceover that's very obviously it's very reminiscent, knows quite a bit to the film Sunset Boulevard. So watching this girl, and it goes into flashbacks of her getting away from an arranged marriage from her cousin, and what happens when there's unfortunately an unfortunate tryst with one of her siblings, and of course she becomes the disgrace, stepping out of tradition, having her own mind. The film also introduces, in documentary style, each member of the family, as well as the rules and the laws of the daughter in a very strict Muslim household in Berlin, and the sense of dread, knowing what's going to happen, but watching her get pregnant, try to raise a son on her own, going to school, getting a job, the rift in the family, the threats that she gets over the phone from members of her own family. One of the big sins, as said in the film, she acts like a German. So it's And we get to the, and I'm usually not a fan of when you're watching something based on a true story or a biopic, and then right at the very end, they kind of hit you with actual footage of what actually happened. I believe it's based on a true story. It's one of those, I think it's a filmmaking ploy that makes me think, well, then why didn't you make a documentary on this? And well, probably because getting everybody involved to discuss it is probably out of the question. So anyway, and the ending, when we get into the trial and what happens after she shot, has kind of a mob film feel to it of protecting your own. To take the line from Goodfellas, never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut. That could be said about this family here. So a heartbreaking film, but also a really good film called A Regular Woman on Corinth Films. Also on Film Movement is an interesting film for the month of October from writer-director Emily Harris called Carmilla. Set in 19th century England. Hi, Kobe. Laura is a 15-year-old girl living in isolation in a huge country estate. Her dad's a widow, and she has as a mother figure, a really strict governess. A lot of time for Laura to be by herself. And nearby, a carriage accident happens, and a passenger is brought into the home to recover, who's about the same age as Laura. And that's the title of the film, played by Devrin Lingau. Hannah Ray plays Laura. And a strange bond happens between the two girls. The governess becomes more jealous. There's some vampire elements to it, but it's more of a costume drama mood piece than a vampire film. It's a coming-of-age story that just happens to have some parallels over what happens when blood is needed and bonding is needed. So it's not The Hunger. It's not that. And it's not Lord and Lady BS, as Kobe and I would joke about. But it has elements of that mixed together, and it's a nice mood piece. So Film Movement has the film Carmilla. Also worth checking out. Again, more costume drama and coming-of-age story than vampire flick. But you should look at it. Now, friends, and you are my friends, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. You know, I talk about titles and then I read your titles. And every now and then somebody will talk me into watching something. Or if I'm reading your comments and go, hey, that movie's on my pile, I should actually just watch it. But based on a recommendation from a friend, and I probably wouldn't have picked this out, but there's a horror compilation that is now out on Hulu called Books of Blood. And this is based on the book, apparently loosely based on the book by Clive Barker, where you have three intertwining stories. And at first, as I was watching this, I thought, I don't think these need to be connected. It doesn't matter if they're connected or not, although there is a pretty decent tie at the end. We have a thug who shakes down a bookstore employee, a bookstore owner, for money. And the owner, scared for his life, talks about a rare book that he could get worth millions. And the thug kills the bookstore owner anyway. So he and his partner get in a car and head out. That's the top of it. First story you have is a teenage girl named Jenna who's off her meds. Parents are frustrated. They live in a ridiculously Hollywood gorgeous beach house, even though it's shot in Nova Scotia. And Jenna's issue is that she hears everything at a heightened rate. Really nice sound work in this section of the film, and winds up going on a bus and to get away from everything, and winds up at a bed and breakfast that kind of theme, I should say, story-wise, kind of telegraphs itself. It's the too-good-to-be-true kind of B&B. And the question as you're watching the first part of the Jenna story is how much of all of this is happening in her head. And without giving away a whole lot, it does kind of dip into a certain horror movie trait that I'm like, I'm not crazy about that. I've seen that before. But, you know, the dragging and trying to get out of the house kind of story. And there's a mystery man involved, but I'll save that for later. In the second story, we have a doctor, a female doctor whose young boy son is dead, still grieving about it. And she meets a gentleman who can apparently communicate with the dead, that they wind up becoming a couple. He winds up becoming a grifter. And it's got a nice little nasty twist when she at the end of Act Two, when she finds out that he's actually a con man and what can be done to get back at him. In the third part of the film, we have Bennett. This is the gentleman from the thug from the beginning, who is in the car with his partner. And there's a scene where he, as they're driving, almost run over somebody who's not paying attention crossing the street. It's Jenna from the first act. I'm like, okay, that's a cute tie-in. And the house from Act Two shows up, and the house from Act Three shows up. And it reminded me of the horror compilations that happened in Hollywood as well as in England in the late 60s, early 70s. And it's... The first film, the first act, the Jenna one, is the longest and probably my least favorite. The Miles and the Bennett ones have some nice, nasty twists at the end, a little bit of comeuppance. And there's something that happens at the end of the film involving Act One that, you know, you just have to go with it. And it also has a bit of it's supposed to be a down ending, but it's got a wink to it. So anyway, if you're into horror compilations, and look, thinking back as I was watching this, I think the first one I got to experience in the theater was Creepshow, and that's the early 80s. And I know there have been ones like Demon Night and Tales from the Crypt. There have been these kind of compilation stories because they're short. You can bang them out. You can kind of connect them a little bit. So this is from writer and director Brandon Braga. For you fans of Star Trek, of the franchise, he's done everything from write and produce and work on movies, on the movies as well as the series, the various series. So anyway, I haven't watched one of these in a while, and, you know, it's not perfect, but it works, especially for the month of October. So if you have Hulu, check out Books of Blood, the horror compilation story, collection there. Wow. Coffee. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, friends, let's get into what you have been watching recently. So grab a pencil. And we start, as always, on my email from my buddy Eric. His first time viewing, as he calls it, my movie diet for the past week. First time viewing of 1983's Mel Brooks version of To Be or Not to Be, which he dubbed Good Plus. His rewatch, the original 1965 film version of The Flight of the Phoenix, dubbed Splendid. That's the Robert Aldrich film with Jimmy Stewart and Richard Attenborough, among others, as guys who are stuck in the desert on a plane crash after a plane crash. Also, from 1936, the UK film Sabotage, outstanding Hitchcockian drama, as well as Young and Innocent from 1937, dubbed Good Double Plus, as well as the original 1938, The Lady Vanishes, certified great. So Eric had a good week. I like that. It's cool when you get into a good streak of movies like that. So well done. Well done, Eric. Thank you. Over on Twitter, Mike writes, "The Founder, I was craving a Big Mac by the end." That's the Michael Keaton film about the genesis of McDonald's, the McDonald's franchise. So, okay, now going on to my page on Facebook, Drew writes Scream 5. Mason writes Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, fantastic and incredibly fast-paced. I feel like I missed at least half of it. But Mason, you can go check it out again if you like. It's that much fun. Back to the list. Megan writes Enola Holmes twice. I got to get on to that. So hopefully this week this will be my homework assignment. Jared writes lots of Halloween movies this week. Frankenweenie, Hocus Pocus, Nightmare Before Christmas. Mary writes Young Frankenstein, Night of the Scarecrow, Dead Still, and Tarantula. Joe writes, West Wing, well, they had a good week this week. The Last Kingdom, The King, The Hollow Crown, Cobra, and Flesh and Blood. Lou writes, that's Lou Harry, several different non-universal Frankenstein films, as well as Terminator Dark Fate, Minari, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Roberta, The Sit-In, Harry Belafonte hosts The Tonight Show. Darren writes, Cape Fear, the Mitchum Peck, and Doctor Who and the Daleks. Catherine writes, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, The Shape of Water, Waiting for Guffman, The Invisible Man, and Ready or Not. Sarah writes, Sitting Pretty, the original Mr. Belvedere film starring Clifton Webb and Maureen O'Hara, as well as Fresno, the 1986 miniseries starring Carol Burnett and Dabney Coleman. Yes, apparently that's on YouTube, folks. As well as the Mystery Science Theater Colossus versus the Headhunters. Thank you, Chief. Joshua writes, Stranger Than Fiction, Cop Car, and Palm Springs. And Eric tells me, I gotta rock. Okay. Jessica writes, Color Out of Space. Patty writes, The Force Awakens and Billion Dollar Brain. Oh, Ken Russell. Early Ken Russell in the late 60s with Michael Caine. Drew writes, Deep Red and Sisters. Sean writes, I just watched Psycho Beach Party, and last night I watched River's Edge. Dustin writes, Abe Lincoln in Illinois. Michelle writes, VHS tapes, Independence Day, Top Gun, and Apollo 13. Nice. Lisa writes, Howard's End. Devin writes, Recess, School's Out. Mark writes, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and then writes in the quote, Of all the souls I've encountered, his was the most human. David writes, The Amityville Horror, Us, Hereditary, as well as the 1978 and the 2018 films of Halloween. Oh, and I'm four episodes into the Watchmen series. Very good. Cassandra writes, Parasite, eerie and head-scratching and bizarre, but so well done. Clueless, as if. And Disney's The Haunted Mansion. How's that for an eclectic random mix of movies this week? Well done, Cassandra. That's all we ask. Nick Rogers writes, Enola Holmes, Book of Shadows. That's Blair Witch 2. Hubie Halloween, Cargo, Alone, the John Hyams one, Dr. Mabuse and the Gambler, or Dr. Mabuse the Gambler, The Testament of Dr. Mabuse, House on Haunted Hill, the original one, and Minari. Mia writes, Swallow. Craig writes, Hitchcock's Notorious. Carrie writes, Envy. Very good. Pretty good, she says. Nancy writes, Everything is Illuminated, Truman Show, and The Odd Couple, the original film version of The Odd Couple. Rachel writes, The Lost Boys, Black Butler, the live-action film, and Enola Holmes. J.R. writes, The Thing. Teresa writes, The Birdcage, The Holiday, Caddyshack, Along Came a Spider, and Little Darlings. Craig also asked, does Chernobyl count? Sure, you watched it. Grace writes, a West Wing special to benefit when we all vote. Isn't technically a movie, but it's beautiful. That's why I said the West Wing had a good week. Jed writes, saw James Cagney's White Heat for the first time, a true classic. Made it, ma, top of the world. Good for you, Jed. That's cool. Dave writes, Under Siege, Spectre, Soul Food, and The Black Stallion. Nicole writes, I was just introduced to Truly, Madly, Deeply. Not sure why I had never seen it before. Because it's Ghosts, but it's better than Ghosts. And it was a smaller film and very English. So, yeah, you had to go to the Art House Theater back in 1990, I believe, to go check that out. That's Alan Rickman and Julia Richardson, if I remember correctly. So, glad you got to see that, Nicole. Chris writes, watched The Father last night. Anthony Hopkins is at his best work since Silence of the Lambs. Also saw Minari, sneaky Best Picture nominee. Very heartfelt. Daniel writes, New York Stories, Scoop, Another Woman, September, Zelig, Sweet and Lowdown, Broadway Danny Rose, Sabrina, Casino Royale, and Stage Fright. Cassie writes, Boys in the Band. Molly writes, Vice, Downhill, Enola Holmes, and Jumanji, The Next Level. Jamie writes, Halloween Town 1, 2, and 3, The Haunted Mansion, and Easy A. Alan writes, Vertigo, saw it last night at Heartland. Let the Right One In, the Swedish original, as well as Treble Trouble, early Hitchcock thriller. Look for Hitch in a blonde wig and dress in the pub scene. Thank you, Alan. Gary writes, CSA, the Confederate States of America. Playtime, The Corpse Grinders. It is October. Horror of Party Beach. Oh, The Zombie Stomp. The Spy Who Loved Me. PTU, Police Tactical Unit. And Tokyo Drifter. Tony writes, Do the Right Thing, as well as Hullett and Stubbs Class Relations. Nice. And yes, we were quoting the Greek chorus, including Robin Harris, which I can't really do the lines on the show, so I won't. Joe writes, Joe Shearer, The Lie, Daniel Isn't Real, Totally Under Control, Welcome to the Circle, Charm City Kings, Black Box, The Voices, You Should Have Left, Synchronic, The Bray Road Beast, Minari, and Dick Johnson Is Dead. Drew writes in again, Brighton Beach Memoirs and Biloxi Blues. Diana writes, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the Monsterland series, and The Catcher Was a Spy. Tracy writes, The Social Dilemma, although clearly I've learned nothing because I'm still on Facebook responding to my favorite radio host. Thank you, MTV girl. I appreciate that. Kirsten writes, Finally watched that Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix. What a life, what a talent. Very good, Kirsten. And tell Rashida and Peggy to call me. Lisa writes, Night of the Lepus, one of the best bees ever. I need to watch that one again. Ben writes, Introducing a grown man to Fear and Loathing tonight. So mad he hasn't seen it. Also, kind of going down a Terry Gilliam rabbit hole. Time Bandits, Baron Munchausen, 12 Monkeys, Brazil. Understood. It happens. Britt writes, Kelly's Heroes, Trumbo, Melancholia, ooh, The House That Jack Built, and The Edge of Tomorrow. Britt, I hope you didn't watch the Lars von Trier films back to back. You shouldn't do that. And Stacy says, F that guy. Janet writes, Zorba the Greek, 12 Angry Men, On Borrowed Time, 13 Days, Mr. Brooks, No Way Out, Carlito's Way, Cruising, Stand Up Guys, and The Panic in Needle Park. John writes, Richard Jewell and I, Tanya. Moveen writes, Terrence Malick's A Hidden Life, based on true events of Franz Jägerstadler's life. Sorry, I'm butchering that. Powerful story of a conscious objector. Forgot to add Mrs. Dowry and Son about the artist L.S. Lowry, Vanessa Redgrave, outstanding as usual, and Timothy Spall in the title role. Yes, we dig both of them. Rosalie writes, The Theory of Everything. 20 minutes later, I nearly broke into tears. And Frida, which thankfully did not leave me in tears. Rhiannon writes, Haunting of Bly Manor. And finally, Bonnie writes, Jojo Rabbit, Slaughterhouse Rules, and The General. So there you go. That's what you watched this week. And I forgot to mention the old titles I got to watch at the Soucy household. There are times, as I've mentioned, if we are together as a trio, we've been catching up on the last season of Schitt's Creek as well as Northern Exposure. I own physical copies of Northern Exposure, whatever. And then there's stuff that Lynn and Emma will watch, and there's stuff that Emma and I will watch, like Adventure Time, Bob's Burgers, Archer, our mom or dad-daughter shows. And then there are times where if it's just Lynn and I and Emma's upstairs working because she's in college. So I put in the Gillian Armstrong film version of Little Women from 1994 and got to revisit that and still holds up, obviously, very solid stuff. Chris Lloyd had a snark about Greta Gerwig's Little Women, and I love Chris's snark because he's Chris, but he made a point of saying that he thought Timothée Chalamet was the prettiest of all the March sisters. You could kind of say that about Christian Bale in the 1994 film version of Little Women as well. So anyway, revisited Little Women, revisited Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That was my top film that year, if I remember correctly. I still want a bar that plays The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down by Joan Baez, as well as Don't Walk Away, Renee by The Four Tops. You see a jukebox, an old school jukebox. It's not Spotify. It's not a computer. Those songs are in that jukebox. That's probably the one moment that intrigues me the most. Besides the great performances, especially from Frances McDormand. So anyway, I still enjoy Three Billboards, as well as Murder on the Orient Express, the Kenneth Branagh version. I know that Death on the Nile, I believe, is coming next year. So, and that was my first Christie and Poirot film I got to see in the theater. Pretty good one. That shows my love of Peter Ustinov. No disrespect to the other Poirots in my life. And last night, as family night, we sat down, and because Emma will pick something that's, you know, either family friendly or of an older title that she grew up with, and we watched the animated version of Anastasia because our cats are named Anya and Dimitri. So, and anyway, fun to revisit that, and that's what I got to watch this week. All right, before we end the show, we need to raise a glass to actress Conchita Farrell, who passed away this week at the age of 77. I refer to her as a Hall of Fame, that lady. But not just that. She's a multi-generational that lady. There's a thing online I know of people will tell you. They determine you based on your first encounter with Tim Curry, whether it's Rocky Horror or Clue or what have you. You know, he's been working for a long time, and Conchita's the same way. You know, the first thing I noticed her in was her second film. She had a great moment in Network as a television executive, and she kind of recreates that role again in Tony Scott's film of True Romance. But that's 1976. In 1979, my father took me to see Heartland, and you have to look for this film. I have a physical copy of it, so I enjoy watching it at my leisure. But it's a great film, and it's one of those that Siskel and Ebert raved about on sneak previews, and fortunately, this film came to Flint, my hometown. But Conchita plays a woman, a widow with her daughter, and they move to the middle of nowhere to work as a hand for a landowner played by Rip Torn. And you get they wind up getting married and trying to start a family together. It's a beautifully understated performance from both of them, especially her. And the film ends with the two actors, the two characters, birthing a calf. And seeing that at I was nine when that film came out, and seeing the actors actually do this blew my mind. And my father leaning down toward me and saying, they don't teach that in acting class. So still stuck with me, and I'm so happy I got to find a DVD of it and make it part of the collection. So look for the film Heartland. She did a lot of television and a lot of movies. I know she was the tough-as-nails nurse on ER from the 80s, not the show from the 90s. This is the one with Elliot Gould. I know for Keeps. And I think the next wave where she got real notice was playing Leona in Mystic Pizza back in 1988, appearing as Helen in Edward Scissorhands, seeing her in Oliver Stone's Heaven and Earth, as well as Freeway, still appearing in a lot of television. Aaron Brockovich is Brenda, and Mr. Deeds. She has a fun fight scene in an Adam Sandler film, so she gets a different generation of fans that recognize her. And this is all before I mention, that show with the two guys and the half guy. So, but yeah, full working, we always a blue collar lunch pail working that lady. So, nominated for 3 Emmys. So, Conchita Farrell, thank you. Thank you, ma'am, for all of your work. Salute. I'm going to end this week's film sociology with a little bit of music. The other thing I got to watch this week, and I'll talk more about this on the film show, but new on Time Life Home Video is a collection. It's a 5-DVD set of soul performances from the show The Midnight Special, which was the live music performance program that happened in the 70s that started at midnight. And it features everybody from James Brown, Curtis Mayfield, B.B. King, the Spinners, the OJs, the Staple Singers. It's just a slew of and this is from 1973 to about 1976. So, I know the Time Life Home Video folks, they got deep pockets and deep library shelves. So hopefully there'll be some more of these coming out. But a good excuse to replay the Staple Singers singing Let's Do It Again, which is on this collection. And the Staple Singers 70s albums have been reissued on Omnivore Records, including the soundtrack to Let's Do It Again, music by Curtis Mayfield, performed by the Staple Singers. So we're going to end this week with a little bit of the Staple Singers and Let's Do It Again as a salute to not only the re-release of their album, but the release of the soul performances of the Midnight Special, courtesy of Time Life Home Video. But first, friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully, we might have a special guest on next week's Film Sociology. It is his busy time of the month. We'll just have to wait and see. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan. Here are the Staple Singers. Let's Do It Again.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!